Must be more than couldn't get on the computer for some reason at home. I got some girls up there. I have three granddaughters after my siblings and I had 10 boys. And each one of my boys has a daughter. But the oldest one, Rare, is 4. Some of you have seen her here before. And she's very flexible. And that's one of the words I taught her. Her vocabulary is crazy. But she said, "Grampy, watch me. See how flexible I am." And then she puts her head, feet up over her head and touches them on the floor behind her or whatever. Does her splits and all that. But that's what we are, flexible. So we started a little late. Shame on you, Reggie. Not everyone's here. Some people are on Zoom. Other people snowed in. People are on vacation. You know, we could do this even if we didn't have the lights. Because we've got the light. And so, some of the best times of worship and fellowship I've had have been in small groups, in like bonfires, with the men, backyard with Brandon, in the hay barn, with birds flying around. So we don't have to have the perfect old setting. We are flexible. We don't have anyone necessarily for Sunday school. And if Tammy steps up, she's flexible. And that's what I like about this body of believers. We're flexible. We have to be. He's flexible with us, right?
Yeah.
If he's not flexible, if he's flexible with us, we should be flexible with what's going on around us. That doesn't mean we don't focus on him. I'm talking about flexibility and circumstances. And I like 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18. It says, "Rejoice always. If it's snowing, the power goes out. Whatever's going on, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances." Only the good circumstances, all circumstances. "For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." So, with that being said, this is kind of a message I brought before, but I don't know if you've noticed this, but if you ever read a good book and then read it later, the Bible for one, but just a good book, and then read it later, it's like, oh, I didn't realize that the first time I read it. I've driven down roads hundreds of times and never realized certain houses were there or certain things were there because I wasn't paying attention. So sometimes it's okay to hear a message a second time and some of you have never heard this one. So and I do have some flexibility in it. And then it's not going to be exactly the way it was in June. Remember that, June 2023? Yeah, I brought that message.
I remember that message.
I didn't even give you the title. Right. It's called The Church of Noble Character from Proverbs 31. And I apologize for my voice. I had the good fortune of being with Woods Lab yesterday when we broadcast the Earl High School and Gorham Boys Hockey Championship, where they actually won the Division III NHIA Championship 2-0. So Butch and I were supposed to be non-biased, so we do lean a little bit towards Gorham and Gorham, so we got a little excited a few times there. But, so my voice is a little weak, but also the thing that Reggie showed there with the little kid being baptized, he sent it to me, and it's like the heart of a child, right? We need to be more like that. So, I want to talk for just a second about plagiarism. Because I've been reading all this week, the Lord's put this on my heart to redo this particular message. And it seems like every day there's a devotion that fits in. I didn't read my devotions this morning because I didn't want to add anything more. Because God works that way. So I kind of feel like these devotions, that's how I feel. Somebody else is writing it, that's how I feel. So if I say that, and it comes from a devotion, I could be accused of plagiarizing. But I'm going to do it anyway, because it's how I feel. Chris Matthews is one of the guys I'm going to quote. Jonathan Kahn, Dutch Sheets, the Bible. There's all kinds of different places I'm going to go. But, So when you think back to the first believers, the disciples, and think about what they faced, They didn't face a little snowstorm. They faced persecution, ridicule, slander, torture, eventually death for their faith. And, you know, we get concerned about weather. They faced some things that we have never faced yet in this country. They were beheaded. They were crucified upside down. They had all kinds of things happen to them that never happened to people in the United States. In other countries, maybe it's coming here, but we'll talk about that later. No matter where they went, what they did, or what they said, there was always some kind of challenge, threat, or persecution. And don't forget that they fled in fear for their lives on the eve of Christ's crucifixion. They took off, they hid, they didn't want to be associated with any of that because they did fear. But later they became stronger, pressed on, they boldly proclaimed the gospel in Jerusalem and to the ends of all the earth. So they overcame that fear that they had and that in persecution and all. They didn't care after that. No matter what they do or what they say, I'm going to do what the Lord tells me to do. Now they still had struggles. They still had persecution. They probably had a few doubts here and there. They faced many dangers and they faced death. But they got the power of life through the resurrection. That is the victory of life over death, and that transformed and carried them for the remainder of their lives. I'm just saying right now, that should be us. That should be me. The power of Jesus can't and didn't stop them, and it shouldn't stop those of us who call ourselves followers and disciples of Christ. Yet, we fear death. We want to survive. We desire survival. We get concerned over money. How am I going to pay for this? How am I going to pay for that? We're going on a little mini vacation, a two-week one. That's the most I've ever done. And I know there's somebody specifically in here who can identify with me. I like the beach, to maybe walk it or go for a jog, but I'm not going to lay in my chair for 4 hours and bring my lunch with me. Right, Jason?
Amen.
Right, Amy? Maybe some of you are like that. Now, Melinda, she can sit on the beach. She'll take her stuff and go, but she's there all day. She'll read 3 books and take a nap and have a full-course meal. Me, I'm like, I sit here 15 minutes, now I got to go do something. So 2 weeks down there, I may have to find a job or something. I'm not going to walk the beach not forever. But anyway, we got some things going on in our family with boundary line adjustments and selling the farm and building a place and all this stuff is going on. And I got and my tractor was broke down and they called me the other day and it's ready. At $3,200, you can come get it anytime you want. So I'm thinking, money, how are we going to do this? And then go on vacation. And maybe go out to eat once or twice, and maybe, go to a show. And I'm like, it's not a worry. And of course, my wife will go, everything's going to be fine. For those who know Melinda, it's going to be fine. I used to pay bills on Sunday night. Don't pay bills on Sunday night. Because then I'm up all night and I had to go to school on Monday. But anyway, so God will take care of that. But we do worry about money. You need to be thinking about it, concerned about it, because that's how we survive, but not to worry. And I'm one who can share that because I'm a worrier about money. We worry about our health. We worry about the vehicles we drive. We worry about the houses we live in. There's a lot of fear, anxiety, worry that dwells among us. Now, I'm not speaking for you. I'm only speaking for me. And I know where all that comes from, and I want to put that behind me and underneath my feet. It doesn't come from him, it comes from the enemy. So, question to think about. Do we believe through the cross that Christ conquered death? Do we truly believe we are who we say we are and therefore will and do follow in His footsteps? Now, sometimes we get sidetracked. Sometimes, you know, the footprint thing. Sometimes He carries us with only one set of footprints. Really, when you think about it, nothing should be able to stop us. If our faith is truly in Him and we are truly disciples of Christ, nothing should be able to stop us. And I think this is a pretty good example. This body of believers is a pretty good example. These people have been through stuff. And we've plowed through it. We've gotten through it. No matter what. I mean, last week when we did the prayer thing, I got home and I'm like, I missed 10 people on that help list that we had. And we had a pretty long list. We got a lot of people who have stuff going on. Because life is like that, but we keep following through and focusing on Him. So nothing should be able to stop us. We should no longer fear and worry about men, death, and we shouldn't be held in bondage. And that's a process. We work through that as time goes on. We also shouldn't be depending on man in this world. Because if we do, we're going to be let down. Now, we have to function in the world, but we shouldn't be dependent on it. Jonathan Cahn said, and he challenges me every day, and I'm like, start living as a true disciple. Living the life of love where the stone has been rolled away. And I can remember going to the Sound in Sight and Sound in Branson, Missouri, a couple of years ago. And it was a story of Jesus, and they rolled the stone away. And of course, it was that's like you feel like you're right there. You've got camels and horses and goats, actually going down the aisles. You feel like you're right there. When that stone got rolled away, it was like a big deal. And that's how we should be, too. When that stone is rolled away, we should be unbound, and we should begin to confront our fears and become overcomers. I do the Give Them 15 thing every day, Monday through Friday. It's a Dutch sheets. Some of it I like, some of it I'm always questioning, and we should be doing that. You should be questioning whatever you're reading. You should be questioning what I'm saying. But he says, it's not enough for us to enter God's house and family. That's a step, but it's not enough. That will get us into heaven, but it won't impact earth today. Holy Spirit wants to renew our minds, teach us His ways, and connect with us and with His heart. He truly and completely has to become our God, not just the God of our forefathers, but our God. We need to partner with Him, meet Him face to face, have our hearts blend with His. And that's that process that we're all going through. If you are a non-believer or a believer who is only self-serving with what's in it for me mindset, it's time to change. And that's between you and Him. Trade weaknesses for strength, self-serving ambitions for His great cause, and temporal destiny for eternal destiny. And that's from Song of Solomon 3. Verse 4. He will reveal Himself to you, and you will find He is whom your soul longs for. Thank you for looking past our faults and shortcomings and see our potential. That's end quote. So there's a few challenging questions there as to where we are as a church, where we are as individuals, as followers of Christ. So the Chris Matthews thing that he and I kind of worked on it. He sent it to me, and then we talked about it, and we tweaked it a little bit, but I'm going to read it, and it's his version, and this isn't to mock the scripture, it's to challenge us in a different way, because that is a woman of noble character in Proverbs 31, 10 through 31. So this is the church of noble character. So think about this as I'm reading it. Is that what we are? A church of noble character. Who can find? They are worth far more than normal wealth. A quick question there is, the reason that was said initially, like with the woman, is it's not a lot of them. So, Church of Noble Character, who can find? Their Lord has full confidence in them. Does he? Does he have full confidence in us? And we lack, and he lacks nothing of value, because they are completing the works he has prepared for them to walk in. They bring him good, not harm, all the days of their lives, because their reputations are spotless in the eyes of the community. What do people say when they say the Word of God? Oh, you belong to the Word of God? What do they say? What do they think? I was talking to a guy the other day that I worked with, I don't know, 20 years maybe in public education. He's a cameraman for a company that Butch and I work for, doing the hockey games. So we're talking. He showed me something on his phone. He wanted to show me that goal that happened with the girls' hockey team, where they got shortchanged on a score, and they lost because of that. So when he goes to go on his phone, he's got a picture of Jesus on his phone, so he swipes it and goes to the picture, and we're talking about the game and stuff. And then I said, "I like the picture of Jesus on your phone. What's that all about?" And so we started talking, and come to find out, he's a born again believer. And I said, "Oh, you have to come to Dublin sometime." And he said, "You belong to that Word of God church in Dublin?" Now he's from Grofton. He says, "I said, yeah." He says, "I'd like to come and see what's going on. I've heard about you guys." He didn't say, anything else. I've heard about the Word of God Church. So he was going to come today, but I think the weather kind of... So anyway, you never know what people are thinking. It can go the other way, too. If you're not walking the walk that Christ says you're walking, but you're wearing the Word of God Christian Church, I'll be sure. So talking about the Church of Noble Character, verse 13, we select priorities and strategies that work together with eager hands. We do that. We've seen that happen in this building. We work together with eager hands because they know that they are unified in purpose. I'm just going to say we for now. He's talking about the church, and I'm talking about this body right now. They are like the merchant ships which bring their food from afar, because they know they need to import and export goods and services from one another. We do that. I got a guy sitting back there that came up to my site, and we spent the afternoon cutting wood. A guy right there to clear my lot, and he swung by the house on the way down, and I loaded up some hay for him. Many of us do that. Somebody does something, and we trade off. And there's going to need to be more of that as time goes on. We get up while it's still dark, and we provide food for the family of God and help all know their assignments for mutual service. We consider vital ministries around the world. Mandy's a good example of that. She's the missions committee chairman, and she comes in periodically and talks with us about the different missions that we're doing in all parts of the world. But we have many missions right here in this community, in this North country, that some of you probably don't even know about. So they invest in them. Out of their fruitful earnings, they plant vineyards at home and abroad. I remember one time we raised some money for a little girl up here, up the road, who burned her feet. Mm-hmm. And we announced it that morning. And Reggie and I took $700 off of that family. And next week we're going to have nothing. It was like that morning. It was crazy. Anyway, they set about their work vigorously. Our arms are made strong for God's tasks. We make sure that our relationships are profitable. And if they aren't, if you're not doing that, do it. And we set ourselves to be ready at any time to meet any need, a phone call away, a text away, a Facebook away. Because we have learned that we need to depend upon one another. We obviously need to depend upon him first, but one another. If someone needs something, I had a conversation with a guy the other day who couldn't get here because of my situation. I said, well, did you call anybody? Mm. No, because he's a guy, and some of us guys are like that. Right, boys? I can do it myself. In our hands, we hold the Word of God, and we search every line with our fingers. Because in this way, we receive instruction from the Lord. I was looking through, when I'm bringing a message, now usually the night before, it's like the night before school on Monday, I'm up thinking about stuff. And it's like, so I'm up. So I take out my big commentary and I go through part of Proverbs. I mean, Proverbs is just full of instruction. Everything is in Proverbs. It's like every single thing you can think of is covered in Proverbs. Instruction from the Lord. Now, we open our arms to the poor and extend our hands to the needy because we know that charity is a function and kindness is a function of the church. When in adversity or crisis, we have no fear for those in the church family. For all of us are clothed with the righteousness of God. And we are committed to one another and consider others first. The design and appearance of our homes reflect the godly values that we profess, and our clothing is modestly appropriate without being extravagant or untasteful. Our Lord is respected in the eyes of the city, where his reputation is known by the rulers of the land. We're working on that one. The whole population is influenced by our works, and we offer our normal work and service to everyone. We are clothed with strength and dignity because of what God has done for us. We don't worry about the future because it is secure. We speak with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on our tongues because we have been taught by our Lord, and we share this wisdom freely. We closely watch over the affairs of the church and do not eat the bread of idleness. I'd like to be idle sometimes. Maybe I will be for the next 2 weeks and I will be complaining. Our children also are a testimony in the schools and in the community. And we respect, honor, and obey our parents and display godly character. The Lord also was pleased with us, and he says, many churches do noble things, but you surpass them all. Is that what we want the Lord to say to us? And if we do, then we've got to be continuing that process. Having worldly charm is deceptive, and beautiful buildings are fleeting, but a church who fears the Lord is to be praised. Let them receive the reward they have earned, and let their works bring them praise, even among the unchurched. How are the unchurched going to find Christ if we don't show them? So that's a church of noble character. Can we answer yes to every single one of those? I hope many. So I got this, actually Melinda got this in the mail, as an email, the other day, and I looked at it and I read it and I said, oh boy, as Mike was talking about, timing, everything is timed. So I started reading it and going like, well, this person has no clue about anything that I'm going to talk about on Sunday. So this doesn't necessarily have to do with this church. It could be the church in general. But let's think about it if it is our church. As I awoke, and I'm not going to read the whole thing. I'm just going to pick out some pieces that I think apply. As I awoke this morning, I chose to face going to church yet again. Because of something positive. I pushed aside the fears that I have of being in church by myself, unseen and ignored. I know that this is my perception alone and may not be a true reality. I like it that person put that in there. Because I think here, I've had people say, like new people who come in, wow, I walk in the door and I feel like I'm at home. People come up and greet me and they talk to me and stuff. I guess this particular person, again, it could be here, it could be at other churches. Yet, nonetheless, it feels so very real to me each time I go. As I sit here in church today, I want to stand up and just yell at everyone, a simple hello is not always enough. Everyone who walks into church with a smile is not okay. A lot of us have been trained to put a smile on and be happy when we go out in public. That is not reality, and that certainly isn't what God wants us to do, to be fake Christians. If we in the church cannot be real with others in the house of God, the place we come together to worship and praise Him, the place where we come to find solace from the struggles of the world, the place where we can find comfort from the burdens that are dragging us down, the place where we can find shelter from the storms, then where can we go? Why is the church here? If you can't truly see me, how are you going to recognize a hurting soul when they visit the church? I'm a person who is recovering from many wounds, brokenness, sorrow, and rejection. I am working on many areas that need to be healed, and it's just me and God most of the time. I hear so many people say we all need community. That is true, but when you come out of church and you feel even more lonely and unseen, you don't want to go back to be a forgotten soul who was ignored and rejected week after week. And there's more to it. Then she goes on to say, we live in a world of wounded people, hurting people, struggling people who need someone to see them, to guide them, to give them hope. Isn't that what the church is supposed to do? And I was thinking about that as I was reading it. A few Sundays ago, I didn't complain, but I challenged people. You know, when we have prayer time, in the back room, 90% of the time there's no one there. I think it was 2 or 3 weeks ago, we had like 10 or 15 people came in there for intense prayer. I'm like, I'm not going to complain ever again. It's okay. You know, this is what we do in this building.
Right.
We reach out to people, and if you've got something going on, you don't have to get into details like we talked about last week. You don't have to know all the details of your health, but at least know, I've got some health issues, and we need to be praying for that. We do pray, and if you have issues, we can help you. We have issues. Just because the leaders are the leaders doesn't mean that, well, we got it all together and everything's hunky-dory, we're good. So how about this one? It says, think about this. How can you minister to others if you aren't willing to get real with God about your life and work on healing those areas? And that goes back to the Church of Noble Character. It's difficult to minister to other people if you haven't got hold of your own stuff. Doesn't mean you can't. But being real is important to hurting people so they can learn to trust you and others in the church. If people want to talk to me about alcohol stuff, I can talk to you about that. But if you want to talk to us and, you know, about sexual abuse or whatever, you haven't been through that. So maybe somebody else who's been through that and is dealing with it can help you to get through it, or even financial stuff, whatever it may be. Amy, did you pick out those songs?
Yeah.
Okay. They all fit. You can take care of all this stuff we're talking about with the sound of your great name. And it goes on, I Dare to Believe, that fits in. Light a Fire, with Let a Fire Under Me. More Power, More of Your Love in My Life. Everything fits in there. So anyway, that's one person who could have been writing about this church, and it could be partly her, like Vicki. I had a testimony a while back about being in California, Vicki, and you were at a concert or something, and you were kind of down, and you were feeling for me type thing, and then, well, there was something that happened that you said, I need to stop focusing on me and focus on others.
Oh, I was going to say, they were asking for prayer for anyone there at the concert that had any kind of healing that needed to be done, and without even thinking about the healing, I was just, we were at this concert, and the guys that were singing asked for a moment of prayer for all those that were needing healing. And I didn't even think anything about my shoulder that was in such pain that needed to be healed. I started just thinking about everybody else and just really praying forward for the healing of everyone that needed it there at that concert. And the next morning I woke up and I haven't had any pain in that shoulder since.
So I think that's the point. Sometimes you can get so focused on your own issues and own needs and you forget about other people. And when you stop focusing on other people and praying for them, sometimes he does take that away from you. You know, I heard something one time, actually it was in a Western. Lean into your fears. You know, lean into your struggles and deal with them. Don't back off. Lean into them. In conclusion, this message today is not directed at any old church, but in fact the true church of God, Christ's church, called the Ecclesia. And the Ecclesia is a Greek word that's defined as an assembly of or congregation called out of the world, I guess that would be us, as a chosen people, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into God's wonderful life. And that's from 1 Peter 2:9. Those who are comprised of the New Testament church, do we want to have an impact on the world, on our families, on our communities, on our co-workers, then we have to be a difference maker. 1 Peter 1:15 and 16, I'm paraphrasing a little bit, says, as obedient children of God, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you were ignorant. Be holy as I am holy. And then Matthew 5:14 and 16, again, to paraphrase, we are the light of the world. Let it shine before others. So can we be like the disciples and other believers of those times, the first Testament church, and share and live the gospel regardless of the cost? Are we willing to step out? Well, I don't want to do that because somebody might be offended. I mean, there's a time and a place and a way to do it. But if the Holy Spirit speaks to you, are we willing to do that? Do it the right way, in the right time, with the right words, the communication thing that I talked about a few weeks back. Let's be difference makers in our walk with him and in this world, and maybe we won't be getting something like this. And again, it might not even have been for this train, but let's make sure it isn't. And I'll share one more thing, and then we're going to play a song. When Melinda had her first surgery back a couple of years ago, and I probably talked to some of you about this before, but I was sitting right over where Rick and Robin are, and I was sitting like alone in that row, and I kind of felt like I was alone. And people were kind of not ignoring me, because people, we all get along. It's not like I'm not going to talk to him today. But I sat there the whole time, and I listened to the words of the songs and the message and all that. And then I stayed there, and I felt like I was being ignored. And I kind of got up and I left. And so I thought, oh, is this like the way it's going to be when, something happens to Melinda? I was thinking about Ronnie. Is that what it was like to him? When Lane was sick, he was coming alone or whatever. And so the next week, I'm sitting in the same place, and same thing happened. Well, at the end of the service, a couple came up to me and said, everyone's concerned about Melinda and everyone's afraid of Melinda. What about you? And I thought, wow. Yeah, what about me? I'm not the type that I want attention, but they prayed over me over there, and I just lost. And I thought to myself, that's what I need to be more aware of. The guy sitting alone in the corner, or the person that's looking like something's going on. Maybe we need to pay attention to that. So if that happens, if you see someone come in and they're kind of this person sits alone, according to the note there. And so I don't know, maybe we should move from our chair and go sit with them. And I've seen people do that in this church. But let's be a difference maker here, let's be a difference maker out there. Because we're called to do that. I want us to be people and a church of noble character.
Can I ask somebody to play a video?
Sure. No, you can't.
Hey, I'm gonna anyway. So when I read that email too, and again, it wasn't necessarily directed at our church, but I could feel the loneliness in the person, and I was thinking like, man, I just like, we gotta be so aware what's going on in people's lives and the hurt. And people put on good faces, but if you really look at people, if you really pay attention to people, like when I go through my anxiety stuff, the thing that happens to me is I get really quiet. And so if you know if somebody's like a joker and kind of always talking and stuff like that, and then all of a sudden they're very quiet, then it's kind of an indication, right? So that's how come it's so important to get to know each other at a deeper level, so that we know that when somebody comes in and they're not acting quite the same way, that we can reach to them. And it's really important, because like after reading that letter, just like I had tears in my eyes just pumping out, because I was thinking like there's places like that. And even though we're in a Christian community, there are times where even as leading this church and stuff, that for whatever reason you can feel lonely. And it just happens sometimes. There's been times when I felt lonely. I was different for some reason, and I was just separated. Now, a lot of that probably was on my own self, but at the same time, during that time, if somebody reaches out to me, and then all of a sudden it's like a big lift up, right? It kind of like pulls you out of that kind of mentality of that type of thing. So, yeah, I just want to encourage people to really be paying attention. You're going to hear some of the stuff that Steve said this morning earlier. Over the next couple of weeks, I have kind of a Palm Sunday message that I'm going to be bringing to Dean's churches, but I'm going to say it here first, and then Easter message and a couple of things that Steve said you're going to hear again. So God is telling us some things that we need to be focusing on, I think, a little bit. So you're going to hear that again. I want to say one other thing about when Steve said, I'm trying to think of how this went. He was talking about maybe when you're going through things and you relate to somebody because you already went through that, or maybe maybe you're currently still going through a struggle. You can still minister to somebody else, because we just talked about in the other day on Thursday, Psalm 51, that the Lord blots out our transgressions. He blots out our transgressions. And that frees us, right? So as long as your intention is to line up with God and what He's telling us to say, don't ever say, I'm not worthy to talk to somebody else because I got my own problem. Because if that was the case, none of us would be up here, right? Like, I wouldn't be up here. I have to lean into God knowing that He's blotting that out. He's covering me. Right? Now, I still got to work on my thing, but He's covering me so I can encourage you all to still go. So even though you're going through something, even though you may be struggling or have struggled, and I think even if you overcame a struggle, it's even better, because it's more powerful a little bit through God, right? But if we're not where we feel like God wants us to be, that doesn't take all your God's wisdom out of you to share with others. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Does that make sense? And I want people to recognize that. It's just like God really put that on my heart. Like, you need to recognize that. You know, we're not sinless. We have issues. And He uses sinners. He doesn't want us in our sin, but He uses us, right? And so don't ever let that hold you back.
Yeah, and I kind of like to say too that Reggie and I are like people, in our business, teaching and like being a physical therapist, we deal with people. That's what we did. That's what we do. And so we want to get people involved, and that's happening in this church like crazy. We've got people doing all kinds of stuff. Stepping out, well, that's not something I really feel comfortable with. But then you do it, and it's like, you're gifted in that area. Keep going, you know. We don't want people to, like, if it's not your nature to openly share, that's fine. But if you want to talk to one of us behind the scenes, that happens to me all the time. People will say, I'm fine, and then all of a sudden, they got me in a corner somewhere, and we're having a conversation, and then they start telling me stuff. And so then you can be praying for them. So, anyway, just be open to, what God, the people that God puts, like, in your path, and reach out to each other. If you've been through marital issues, and all of us who are married have been through that, if someone's having issues, reach out to them. Or maybe they'll ask you. So we just want you to be encouraged to do what God wants you to do and be a difference maker in all aspects of your life. With that being said, we're going to play a song called that.
Disappear. Yeah.